Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I hope that you have had a good week. I hope that you've had a good Friday. As we head into the weekend, I hope you'll be spending some time in worship, gathering with other believers in order to celebrate the fact that the Lord Jesus is alive. In the midst of a world that is crazy at times, people engaged in all kinds of destructive behaviors, both self-destructive and hurtful to others, it's vital for us to remember that Jesus is still on the throne. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Meanwhile, just as he told us it would be, there is a lot of opposition to that which is good and lovely and true. There is a lot of hatred for truth and hostility toward those who love truth. Recently, there was a story in the Washington Post written by Kathleen Parker, who's an opinion writer, and I'll share just a little bit of what she says here, and then we're going to be talking a little later in the broadcast with an attorney who is representing the folks who are involved in this. Kathleen Parker, writing in the Washington Post on May 22nd, says this: "At a time when more than 400,000 children are in foster care nationwide, the city of Philadelphia is threatening to cut ties with Catholic Social Services because of the group's policy against placing foster children in same-sex households. On the surface, one might say this is a classic case of state versus church," says Parker. "The city must uphold its policies forbidding discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. And Catholic Social Services must honor Catholic teaching and not place children in LGBTQ households. On a deeper level, however, the issue cuts right to the core of religious liberty. Although the First Amendment guarantee of religious freedom has always meant that the state couldn't impose a religion upon its people, secularism would seem to qualify as a religion inasmuch as the state's policies are really beliefs, articles of faith, based upon far less information and experience than the church's. There's no dogma like no dogma, if I may quote myself. In fact, CSS has never been petitioned by a gay couple, according to a complaint that the group and three foster parents in its network have filed against the city in federal court. The clash began in March after the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that a gay couple seeking to adopt had been turned away by another religious-based agency, Bethany Christian Services. Soon thereafter, the city's Department of Human Services suspended foster care intake with both Bethany and CSS, pending an investigation by Philadelphia's Commission on Human Relations." Folks, I don't know who all listens to this broadcast. I know that it's a variety of folks. Some of you are enthusiastic in your compliments, and you tell me that the broadcast is an encouragement to you. Every now and then I hear from people who are very upset by something that I've said. But let me try and be clear about what I'm hoping to share during this broadcast. This is not a time when I want to try and talk about the LGBTQ community. This is not a time when I want to talk about what God says concerning sexual relations. God is the creator, and God is the one who invented sex. And so it should not be surprising to us that God, the creator, would have instructions in his word about what sex is intended to be, how it should and should not be used. But that's not the point of this particular broadcast. Instead, we need to recognize that sometimes the government, in its zeal for doing good, does harm. And this seems to me to be one of those very clear cases where there's a tremendous need for foster homes, and the state, or in this case, the city of Philadelphia, is cutting off its nose despite the children's face. There are tons of children who desperately need loving home environments. And the city of Philadelphia believes that that need could be better met if same-sex couples were allowed to be among those homes providing care. Catholic Social Services is not waging a campaign to try and keep same-sex couples from fostering children. They simply are saying, we're not going to facilitate that. Likewise, Bethany Christian Services is not engaged in a campaign to try and roll back the Supreme Court decision concerning same-sex marriage. They simply said, we're not going to place a child for adoption with a same-sex couple. Now, you can agree or disagree with Catholic Social Services or with Bethany Christian Services. Truth in advertising here, I should say that when my wife and I adopted three of the four children that we have adopted, we used Bethany Christian Services to facilitate the adoption, and we were very grateful for the professional and compassionate way in which they handled the whole situation. But I will say this, for the state or the city, or in some cases nationally, the federal government, to decide that because an agency has religious views, which happen to be in line with Scripture, that agency is disqualified to help, seems to me to be practicing the very sort of discrimination that they supposedly are against. What they're saying is, if you don't believe like we believe, then you're not allowed to help any children. Because after all, you should be willing to help anybody help children. Now, we're going to talk with an attorney who has been involved in this particular case and in many other cases. We've had her on our broadcast before. And I want you to hear what she has to say, because, again, what's going on in this situation is not an isolated case. It is an individual case, but it's not an isolated case. This is part of a problem and a pattern nationwide, where folks, in the name of tolerance, display the utmost intolerance. And it is often the children and the most vulnerable in society who are hurt.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And his folks, my guest is Stephanie Barclay. She is working with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and it is one of the fine organizations that is defending what most of us would consider something we all agree on, and that is religious liberty. For goodness sake, isn't that something that is enshrined in our Bill of Rights? Well, let's just say our rights have to be defended repeatedly. And Stephanie, thank you so much for what you're doing and for taking a few minutes to come on the broadcast with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about what's been happening in Philadelphia. Back in March, there was an urgent call for new foster parents, but at the same time, something else was afoot. Tell us about what's been happening there.
That's right. The same month that the city put out an urgent need for at least 300 more foster parents to help care for the thousands of vulnerable kids in foster care in Philadelphia, that same month the city inexplicitly cut ties with one of the most successful foster care agencies in that city simply because it disagrees with the religious beliefs of Catholic Social Services and the families who that agency supports. This is leaving lots of foster homes of award-winning parents sitting empty because the city now refuses to send kids to them, even though there are, by the city's own recognition, hundreds of kids just waiting to have a safe home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also impacting and keeping separated other families and other special needs kids who desperately need care and love that can be provided by families who are willing to do so. So it makes no sense, and it's causing really, really severe human costs just because the city is engaging in religious discrimination.
Now, this is not because the city is ostensibly anti-Catholic, but rather because the Catholic charity is doing what the Catholic Church historically has said is basic, and that is recognizing that marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman. Is that right?
Well, the city read about the Catholic beliefs about, as you said, marriage in the newspaper, and just based on that cut off referrals to Catholic Social Services, even though there has never actually been a complaint against Catholic Social Services by any family for the provision of foster care services consistent with their faith. There's certainly never been a complaint by a same-sex couple, and in fact, same-sex couples haven't even asked Catholic Social Services to provide written certifications for them that would contradict Catholic Social Services' faith. So this is really a hypothetical problem that the city has dreamt up, but it is creating real, concrete, acute problems for families and vulnerable kids who are being impacted right now by the city's decision.
Absolutely. Well, I am, of course, aware because of what we do, working with kids who come from families that are in crisis of various kinds. I'm well aware that in many states around the country, the departments that are supposed to be protecting children are instead engaged in policy battles and turf wars that end up tragically impacting children and families and those who would seek to help them. Now, this has been covered in the Washington Post. It's been covered in the Wall Street Journal. But we're talking about it on our broadcast today because I don't see this by any means as some isolated thing that's happening in Philadelphia or that's happening in Pennsylvania or that's happening just in the Northeast. This is a national problem where government says, here, let us help. And they end up making things far worse, and kids are the most vulnerable. Children are the most vulnerable and the ones who often suffer the greatest harm. What is the Beckett Fund seeking to do in order to help?
We have brought a lawsuit telling the court that it violates the state's laws and policies protecting children and protecting religious freedom, and it violates the Constitution for the city to engage in this sort of discriminatory and retaliatory action. And you're absolutely right that the ones who are suffering most from the city's decision to prioritize political grandstanding, that is coming at the expense of kids, kids who deserve so much better, who have already dealt with unspeakable abuse and trauma in many cases, and who really deserve to have a city who is doing everything it can to find them more homes, not a city who is taking their homes away simply because of this desire to score a cheap political point.
Yeah, and that is what it comes down to, as you said, political grandstanding. And yet this is not uncommon. This is a problem that I have seen in various states, and sometimes it's locales, sometimes it's statewide. There have been horrible problems in Illinois. I know agencies that have gone under because they were cut off by the state and told you cannot take care of children anymore. There mm-hmm. was a wonderful ministry in Michigan years ago that was started in the 1950s by an organization called Youth for Christ. And in the 1990s, I believe it was, somebody in Michigan state government discovered that an organization started by Youth for Christ was Christian. And that was just, you know, a bridge too far. And they went in and they pulled all the children out and they closed the place down. And the headlines were that they'd been found to be abusing the children. It turned out that the only abuse that was even alleged was that they were requiring these children to participate in religious activities like Sunday school and church and devotions there on campus. And, of course, eventually, as the facts came out, there were those in Michigan and in the government in Michigan who said, hey, you know, this was wrong, we shouldn't have done this. But at that point, the organization had been dismantled. They had been completely ruined, and their reputation was not formed by the retraction on page 30. It was formed by the headline on page 1, and that is that this Christian home was being charged with abusing children. That kind of hostility toward the faith that results in children not being able to be helped by Christian organizations is a really sad thing. But as I say, that happened back in the 90s. And in another state. This is an ongoing problem, and I would simply submit it, this is not a reason to throw up your hands. It's not a reason to give up. It is a reason to be vigilant and to always press for the facts and not simply settle for the headline. Now, again, I'm grateful that the Beckett Fund is pursuing this and that a suit is being brought, and based on the Beckett Fund's history, I believe you're going to be successful in Philadelphia as you have been elsewhere. But meanwhile, folks out there ought to pray for the success of the Beckett Fund in this case and for protection for these children and for the fact that there are families who are heartbroken because they're wanting to help. And currently, they're being shut off from the ability to do so.
Well, we appreciate your support and the support of those listening. And you're right that in these cases, something we should be focusing on, where there is such a need and a shortage for homes. You know, we agree that everyone should be treated with dignity. And this is not a case about preventing anybody from fostering or adopting. This is simply a case about encouraging there to be all hands on deck. We need more agencies. We need more helping hands. We need more homes for kids, not less. And that's why the city has it exactly backwards here, and that's what we're fighting to fix.
Stephanie, thank you so much. You have a great day.
You have a great day, too.
Folks, this is not just a situation in Philadelphia. This is a pattern nationally. This is a problem nationally. This is the kind of thing that is going to continue to rear its ugly head when the government is bent on enforcing their new orthodoxy on the rest of us. People who scream for tolerance are not always willing to tolerate a dissenting view. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, commenting on this same situation, headlined it this way: "Suffer the little children. Philadelphia sacrifices Catholic foster services to identity politics." The editorial board writes on May 22nd, same date as the story I referenced earlier from the Washington Post. "What's more important, finding a foster home for needy children or identity politics?" They go on to say, "Catholic Social Services has worked in Philadelphia for decades and oversees about 100 foster homes. But 2 months ago, the city abruptly halted referrals to the group because the Catholic Charity holds Catholic beliefs about same-sex marriage. Last week, several foster parents represented by the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty sued in federal court to resume the group's foster care placements. Now again, you can decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong regarding same-sex marriage, regarding Catholicism for that matter. I'm not a Roman Catholic. I don't share many of their views doctrinally, though I do agree with other views of theirs. Both of us believe that there is one God. Both of us believe that that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Both of us would say that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. We would agree that he rose again from the dead and is alive right now. But folks, that's not what an agency's beliefs concerning same-sex marriage are all about. The Catholic Church has not accepted same-sex marriage. Catholic social services should not have to accept same-sex marriage in order to be able to help children who need a foster home. My wife and I started a facility that has four homes for children. We work with kids from all over the country. But the fact of the matter is, those children ought to be able to receive care from Christian organizations without the Christian organization having to change its beliefs to go with whatever the latest trend is in politics. Some of you may recall that our previous president, Mr. Obama, was opposed to same-sex marriage during his first term in office. And then, after being outed by Joe Biden concerning his views, he changed his views. He said his views had evolved. Should Christian organizations have to make sure that our evolution is in step with whatever the politicians are currently saying? Is that really the kind of government that we want? One where the latest whims now require that everyone else join lockstep, or else the children can't be helped? This is a situation where children need help. And there's an agency that has been commended for doing an excellent job helping those children for a long, long time. They've been placing children in foster homes. And again, I hope you caught the fact there wasn't a same-sex couple that applied to Catholic Charities and was turned down. Instead, you've got political bureaucrats in the city of Philadelphia who found out, shockingly, that Catholics at Catholic Social Services believe what the Catholic Church says. And on that basis, and that basis alone, they cut off Catholic Social Services from being able to provide foster care. Now, some people are going to say it's all about money. Well, I'm speaking as one who runs an organization that does not accept government funds. So clearly my interest in this has zero to do with money. The children we work with are here by private placement. And the funds that we use in order to take care of those children and pay our staff, those funds come from donors, folks like you, who say, I'd like to help you help the children. But I want you to understand something. All over this country, there are people who want to help. And there are other folks who want to make sure that they can't, even if the reason that they can't is because they believe what Christians have believed for centuries. I don't want you to be discouraged. I do want you to be aware. I want you to pray that God will embolden and strengthen the hands of those who are seeking to care for children, and that God will intervene on behalf of the children who desperately need a loving home. God bless you. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.